the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. One does not cast vision for a parish in the middle of July, not with the travel season at its peak. Yet here I am looking at a story from Luke's Gospel that has great significance for our parish. Now, if I were looking for the best opportunity to cast vision for our parish, I would aim for August 10th, a few weeks from now, after school has begun and when we've gathered for our combined anniversary service as one church. So save the date. Join us on August 10th for that combined service. But for today, the lectionary has led us to the house of Bethany, regardless of the time or the season. Now, it may help you to know that this story from Mary and Martha's home has been near my heart since the springtime. And in fact, it was a central story going even farther back to my sabbatical that began around this time last year. When I taught the formation course on discerning your kingdom vocation in April and May, this story was continually before me. Mary and Martha's encounter with Jesus. It shaped my records report to the vestry for the last 3 months. So I begin with this background. It's a local retrospective of sorts, beginning with this gospel story instead of just jumping into an exposition or interpretation of the story. Now, I won't unpack a ministry vision from this story today. Instead, I want you to know this story has deep significance for us in this season of ministry at Apostles. Now, many churches, pastors, and lay leaders, they focus their energy and resources on what they should be doing in ministry. Now, churches must do this, reflecting on what we've done in the past, what we are doing now, what God calls us to do in days to come. But in the attention that's given to what we ought to be doing, American Christians can easily lose the all-important question, how should we be doing ministry? What kind of rhythms and pace ought we to take? How do we harmonize the active work of ministry and the contemplative call to prayer? How should we be doing ministry? It's not a vision sermon today, but it is a day to share some important topics and themes from the house of Bethany for our life at Apostles. And these are questions that are not only for our collective life, how Apostles does ministry. These topics and discussions, they are for our homes. They're for our family rhythms. They are indeed for our calendars and schedules. Yes, the lectionary is working with divine providence as we resume normal routines and rhythms with August coming round the corner. So cross the threshold once more and let's enter the house of Bethany, the home of Mary and Martha. And let's learn from the Lord how He would order our families, our homes, and our lives. Now, before we speak about Martha's errors, we ought first to speak about her virtues. Now, there's a detail that few notice about this story. It was Martha who invited Jesus to come inside the family home, to cross the threshold of their home, to be welcomed as an honored guest. You see, without Martha's welcome, invitation, Mary could not have sat at the feet of Jesus. But once the Lord crossed the threshold of the house at Bethany, Martha crossed over into the arena of anxious distractions, the anxiety and the trouble of many things consumes Martha. You see, it is not what Martha is doing, it is how she works that brings anxiety. Hers are not dishonorable activities. In fact, hospitality, it is one of the holiest activities one can do. Consider the reading that we heard from Genesis, how the act of hospitality and serving is in fact an encounter with the angel of the Lord. When the Lord corrects Martha, notice he does not correct her for serving. He does not correct her for the gift of hospitality. And when Jesus corrects Martha, he does so gently. And you hear it when he says her name twice. Martha. Martha. And then the Lord addresses Martha's error, which was not serving. It was allowing herself to be distracted, to be anxious, to be troubled by many things. In Christian tradition, we identify Martha with practical things and Mary with prayerful things. Mary, for the saints, has often represented the active life, and Martha represents the active life, Mary the contemplative life. But in this story, the two sisters, they represent another contrast. Martha is concerned with many things, while Mary is concerned with the one thing necessary. Service, hospitality, practical life. These tasks, they are not the problem. Rather, it is the volume of things that has overwhelmed Martha's spirit. Or it is her attitude, rather, to the overwhelm that holds Martha's heart captive. Martha has not resisted that pull of the practical, because of the practical needs in this life, there will be no end. What do productivity experts in our time say is the reward for completing all your tasks and responding to all emails? The reward is more email and more tasks, not less. I will pray when all the piles are sorted and all the lists are complete. Maybe you will, but maybe not. Because in the sorting of the various piles and the completing of checklists, one discovers more things that need doing. The siren call of practical needs will always blare louder than the call to prayer. This is the anxiety and the trouble of many things. And in the frenzy and in the burden, because it's not just anxiety, it's the burden of many things, Jesus teaches the way of his kingdom at the house of Bethany. And that way is the way of simplicity. One thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion. Martha was called not only to repentance, but to a conversion of sorts, to change her mind about how to tackle many things and learn instead there's one thing that's necessary, and that is to learn the Jesus way of simplicity. As I've said in years past, reflecting on this story, when the lectionary brings it round, Martha's work, it was not wrong. It was simply disordered. It was out of order. Prayer, listening to Jesus, attentiveness to his presence. These activities, they come first. The spiritual life of a house puts the work of the house in order. Prayer orders productivity, not the other way around. Prayer orders productivity, not the other way around. Prefer nothing to the work of God, wrote Saint Benedict in his rule. And by the work of God, Saint Benedict meant worship and prayer. The 20th century Benedictine monk Thomas Merton, he wrote about his life as a Benedictine monk and said that no matter where one was working, whether it was in the kitchen, in the field, or in the workshop, when the bells of prayer rang in the monastery, each monk left his task, regardless of the task or where they were in that process, and they began walking to the nave for the work of God. Another monk of the 20th century, St. Porphyrius, he writes of a similar tradition among Orthodox nuns who they cease their work when they hear the bells of prayer and they pray the Jesus prayer right where they are. The saint said, "In practice, this is difficult." And then he says, "But do you know how wonderful it is to be watering the garden and as soon as you hear the bells, to kneel down? And then for 10 minutes, we say with intensity, 'Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me.' Altogether, wherever we happen to be, as one person, united with Christ in prayer of the heart for 10 minutes, and then we continue our work." Now, my brother and sister, we are not monks or nuns. We live in the world. We do not have the same rule of life and prayer as monks or nuns, though we do have the same principle of prayer, ordering work. So this is one that we adopt and adapt to our daily lives. You know, every time I have visited a monastery for a retreat or otherwise, I find this great paradox. The most peaceful and prayerful places are also some of the most productive places I've ever visited. One of the loveliest and the most productive gardens I've ever seen was tended by a monk who prayed all 150 psalms every single day. There is a Christian way of productivity without haste, without hurry. Hurry is the pace of hell, not heaven. There is a way of calm productivity. But the way of prayer has to put all work in order. Mary chooses the good portion, the one thing necessary, the essential work of the household. To enter the presence of God, to listen to His voice, that's the one thing necessary. When Jesus gently corrects Martha's distracted and anxious spirit, He discloses to her a secret about Mary's devotion, this one thing necessary. When you choose that one thing, it brings calm, it brings order to the whole household. It brings calm to the work. Mary's devotion sets the tone for a calm rhythm of the household. And you know, this is not the only occasion where Mary's spirit fills the house. This is the same Mary, Mary of Bethany, one of my favorites. She's the same Mary who anointed the feet of Jesus just 7 days before His crucifixion. Mary, you may remember in this story, she poured an entire container of expensive perfume anointing our Lord Jesus. And St. John said of that event, "The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume." Mary, you see, seemed to have the same response to money as she did about time. These values, they were meaningless to her when compared with the presence of the Lord. As Mary took no thought for other tasks when the Lord first visited their home, Mary took no thought for the expense of pricey perfume when she anointed the Lord's head and feet before the Passover. Can you imagine being at a household monthly budget meeting with Mary and Martha? And how that conversation went? If you're new to apostles or Anglicanism, you will learn a saying that we often invoke. Now, it's a principle with exceptions, but we often say as Anglicans that we look at things not as either or, but as both and. And in this instance, we are not commending either the Martha way or the Mary way. We are commending a harmony of the two, both Martha and Mary. We seek the active and the contemplative life. We desire to be people of prayer and practical works. Not either or, but both and. And in the desire to be both and lies a great struggle. No sense in believing this will be easy to harmonize the two. At the beginning of July, before I left for vacation, I met with our staff to review the month ahead and the months ahead and reflected a bit about the active and the contemplative life, the Mary and the Martha way. And I'll share with you some of the words I shared with them. None of us will ever achieve perfect harmony of the practical life and prayerful life, the active and the contemplative way. But this is a holy pursuit. It's one we pursue. This is a holy struggle. It will humble us. I bring no illusions of quick success. We will fail. Probably because we're Americans with an excess of activity or busyness. But this is a holy gospel pursuit. I believe it and I trust it. Regardless of our success or lack thereof. I don't want to pursue other ways of living or being. Prayer orders this household. Prayer teaches productivity, not the other way around. There is one thing necessary for the disciples of Jesus, and that is seeking the presence of Jesus continually, listening to his voice in all things and for all things. That is the work that orders all the other work that happens in this house. Well, as I bring this meditation to a close, I want to offer an image that has inspired my imagination for the past month. I want you to think of the image of Martha at Jesus' feet, and I want you to think of Mary at work. Martha at Jesus' feet, but Mary at work. Throughout this meditation, I've been looking at Mary and Martha as archetypes of the practical life and the prayerful life. But let's remember that this memorable moment was only a single moment. We know from the Gospels that Mary and Martha, with their brother Lazarus, they were dear friends and supporters of our Lord Jesus. And so as with all disciples, we are called to repentance and full maturity in the Lord. As we heard from Colossians. So invert the postures of the sisters of Bethany, and then you have a vision of harmony and wholeness. I want you to imagine Martha repenting. Repenting of her distracted, anxious, and troubled spirit, and setting aside the tasks that undoubtedly swirl in her mind, but choosing instead, with all that swirling within, choosing instead to kneel at the feet of Jesus. This is how Martha becomes a more contented, peaceful, and focused servant. But I also want you to imagine Mary rising from her posture at the Lord's feet to do some work. And all those with a servant heart said, "Amen. It's about time." I want you to imagine Mary doing her part for all that needs doing in the household. Whether that be hospitality, meals, household chores. I want you to imagine the peace and the patience that she brings to her work. Having chosen the good portion of seeking the presence of Jesus first. We do not consider how good of a worker Mary of Bethany was. Now, Scripture is silent on the matter, as it's silent also about the habits of Martha at prayer. But perhaps we, my dear ones, are the ones who live this answer. That those drawn to the contemplative life, they learn how to bring the peace and calm of Jesus into their daily tasks and projects. And that those who are more active, they learn, by following the Lord, how to lay down their burdens, their anxieties, and their troubles about their tasks and their projects, and to kneel at the feet of Jesus. And to rest in his presence. It is a holy way. None of us will perfect it in this life. Such a holy struggle, a holy pursuit. But that struggle here below is preparing us for life eternal, where we will sit at the feet of Jesus, where we will enjoy His presence, and in His eternal kingdom, we will do work in the kingdom of God when heaven comes to earth. So let us choose the one thing necessary, that all other things that need doing may be done peacefully, calmly, and all for the glory of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.